Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, February 8th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the MDCT president, Morgan Tsvangirai, has issued a directive barring its members from running social media sites that are not sanctioned by the party.
The reason for that is that some of these groups were now being used to divide the party. They were being used to spread falsehoods and malicious statements against members of the party. And we felt that this would destroy the party.
Reserve Bank Governor John Mangunjga is expected to present his first monetary policy statement for 2015 this week, since he was appointed to the post. However, some economists say not much can be expected from this presentation as the country's economy continues to tank.
From where I stand, we are not expecting much from the RBZ governor. Zimbabwe is in a multi-currency regime. Essentially, what it means is that the central bank can no longer directly influence money supply in the economy. It can no longer directly influence the price of money, which is called interest rate in the economy.
The Zimbabwe Farmers Union says the recent rains experienced in the country recently has led to waterlogging in most areas, forcing some farmers to now bear additional costs as they fight leaching in the majority of crops.
We see now that most farmers were at the stage when they were applying top dressing fertilizer, and because of waterlogging, the fertilizer is now being leached, and it means the farmers will now need to reapply fertilizer.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The MDCT president, Morgan Tsvangirai, has issued a directive barring its members from running social media sites that are not sanctioned by the party. MDCT Secretary General Douglas Monzora says members are barred from using social media platforms like WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, and other sites with immediate effect unless they seek permission from the president's office before administering such sites. We spoke to Monzora on the issue.
We have a directive that came from the president's office that the social media groups that have been established by various members of the party must be closed, and that those who want to open these groups must get the clearance of the spokesperson of the party. The reason for that is that some of these groups were now being used to divide the party. They were being used to spread falsehoods and malicious statements against members of the party. And we felt that this would destroy the party. So the president has given a directive not in order to oppress anyone, but in order to protect the party. There were a lot of false statements that were being given in these groups. For example, the false information that there was a group of people or some people who wanted to remove the president. These were false statements spread by some people maliciously on these groups. So these groups were becoming sources of division of the party, and we have moved in to arrest that.
Are you not throttling freedom of expression and association, which you have been accusing ZANU-PF of doing in the past? Are you not doing that yourselves as the MDCT?
Freedom of expression or freedom of association is subject to the freedom of other. In other words, it is not freedom of expression to spread slander, malice, and untruth. That is actually offending the freedom of others. Insofar as it interfered with the freedom of others, it is not acceptable. It is not acceptable to lie. It is not acceptable to try to destroy the party.
And how are you going to police this? What kind of monitoring devices do you have to ensure that you have closed down all those social media platforms that are speaking on behalf of the party from your members? Because we see there's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's a lot of social media platforms coming up. How will you enforce your directive?
It is possible to enforce the directive. I'm sure that genuine members of the party appreciate the need for this directive, because there was a lot of division which was being sent by some quarters And in fact, some enemies of the party were taking advantage of these social media groups to extract information about the MDC, to spread disunity and promote disunity within the MDC. We are going to monitor that, but our intention is to make sure that the members of the party discuss things within the parameters that are allowed. Those who want to continue operating are free to do so as long as they clear with the spokesperson of the party.
That was MDCT Secretary General Douglas Munzora in Harare. The Reserve Bank Governor John Mangunjga is expected to present his first monetary policy statement for 2015 this week. However, some economists say not much can be expected from this presentation as the country's economy continues to tank. We turned to economist Prosper Chitambara on his views on what can be expected from the statement.
From where I stand, we are not expecting much from the RBZ governor. Zimbabwe is in a multi-currency regime. Essentially, what it means is that the central bank can no longer directly influence money supply in the economy. It can no longer directly influence the price of money, which is called interest rate in the economy. What basically the RBZ will be trying to do probably is to come up with measures and ways of ensuring that our financial system remains sound, our financial system remains viable, remains healthy. Because over the past few months, the incidence of non-performing loans in the financial system is actually risen to unsustainable levels. So we are expecting that the RBZ governor will unveil risk management frameworks that will result in most banks, especially the indigenous banks, sticking to good corporate governance. So I think for me, that's the major expectation from the upcoming monetary policy statement.
Dr. Mangunjga is saying that he is in the process of cleaning up distressed banks, and by June, he's expecting that no financial institution will be struggling. Do you think this is a feasible timeline?
Well, I don't think it's a feasible timeline, number one, because the fortunes of the financial system are intricately linked to the fortunes of the economy. So unless and until you address the structural bottlenecks, the structural binding constraints that have affected adversely the Zimbabwean economy, then you can never sustainably deal with the challenges facing the financial system. For example, the issue of liquidity. It's not just a financial system phenomenon, but it's a macroeconomic phenomenon. So to deal with the issue of liquidity, it's not just about bringing confidence in the financial system, but it's also about bringing confidence in the economy by addressing issues of productivity, issues of competitiveness, ensuring that our economy is producing enough goods and exporting enough goods so that we can generate export revenues that can alleviate and ameliorate the problems of liquidity. So I don't think that the timelines are realistic because it will take a longer period of time to address the issues that are affecting the Zimbabwean economy, which ultimately also affects the financial system.
From your own point of view, Mr. Chitambara, if Dr. Mangunjga were to come to local economists and say, okay, how do I do this? How do I revive the economy? What would be your advice?
I think what needs to be done in the economy goes beyond just a monetary policy statement. I think what we need probably is to revitalize, to revamp our institutions of social dialogue so that the government, business, civil society and labor can actually come together and address the binding constraints that are limiting economic recovery in Zimbabwe. It's not something that can be done by the RBZ alone, but it's something that needs to be done by all the stakeholders within the Zimbabwean political and economic establishment. What needs to be done is for us to come together. We need unity of purpose, we need social cohesion, we need dialogue, we need effective participation of stakeholders in decision-making processes, and above all, we need political will and commitment to address the economic challenges that we are facing.
That was economist Prosper Chitambara in Harare. The Zimbabwe Farmers Union says the recent rains experienced in the country recently have led to waterlogging in most areas. The Zimbabwe Farmers Union President Paul Zakaria says farmers are now facing additional costs as they now have to source more fertilizer in the hope of saving their crops from leaching. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri speaks to Mr. Zakaria on the issue.
We see now that most farmers were at the stage when they were applying top dressing fertilizer, And because of waterlogging, the fertilizer is now being leached, and it means the farmers will now need to reapply fertilizer, you know, the top dressing fertilizer. And that has an effect in terms of increasing production costs.
Which areas are most affected by this waterlogging problem?
These are the northern regions of the Mashonaland West, Mashonaland Central, Mashonaland East, and parts of Manicaland. And of course, in the south pockets here and there, Mashingo and Midlands, even in the Matabeleland provinces, most farmers in those regions have been affected. But mostly, this is occurring in the northern regions.
Is there anything that farmers can do to fight this waterlogging problem?
There is not much. If the rains fall, then you have to work with what you have. But when you look at the advice that most farmers are given, it is important that farmers catch up with the seasons. When we have the first rains, farmers should actually take advantage and plant them, because then when you have your first rains, you normally don't experience floods. So those farmers who took advantage of the first rains, they actually have a standing crop as we speak, despite the incessant rainfall. They actually have a very good standing crop. Then also those farmers who attempted to grow small grains, your rapoco, you know, your sorghum, they have a very good crop, and that crop has also resisted this devastation which comes with incessant rainfall.
That was the president of the Zimbabwe Farmers Union, Paul Zakaria, speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Harare. News just coming in says that the 2014 Zimbabwe School Examination Council ZIMSEC ordinary level results are out. In a statement, ZIMSEC Director Isa Unyandara confirmed that students who set for the 2014 October-November O-level examinations will be able to collect their results from their respective schools or centres from tomorrow. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Nyari Mashayamombe, who is the director of Tag Life International. Nyari, thank you so much for joining me on the Youth Forum.
Thank you for having me, Tatenda.
And of course, Nyari, there's been a lot going on in the past few weeks in the issues of gender-based violence or sexual assault. We saw late last year the issue of the young lady who was assaulted at the Kombi ranks, judging by what she was wearing. There was so much energy given to that mini dress and what it meant for her to be wearing that. But what really is the conversation about? Should we be worried about her wearing that short dress?
Often when we're talking about miniskirts, for instance, I remember Cathway Sisterhood, sometime last year, they did a miniskirt march, and people rubbished that miniskirt march and said, what the hell? But when this happened now at 4th Street, when a person was stripped and that was recorded, the men, I remember I was on a number of radio programs when men were calling in and they were so mad and they were angry that this had happened to that girl, and men actually wanted to get into the streets and to look for this Kombi touts.
Yeah, I can agree with you, because I remember when the Katwe Sisterhood did have the miniskirt march, and it was really rubbished by a lot of people saying, what's the point? And of course, then this happened, which brought up the conversation to say, what does a miniskirt really mean? But, you know, working with young women in your organization, what are they saying? Do they feel like they are being impeded on what they can wear? Is it something that they look at and say, okay, I'm not allowed to wear this mini skirt or mini dress?
The question that you've just asked, Tatenda, has brought in the dialogue around issues of independence, where people are saying that if a young woman, obviously they are feeling, I mean, there's no young woman who is going to be happy or not feel intimidated or threatened or violated by a man who undresses them in public like they did at 4th Street. So what then that does to young women is they are questioning the gains of independence to say, before 1980, our fathers and mothers and brothers could not go beyond a certain point at 1st Street. I would equate an ID to what is being regarded appropriately dressing. That's a condition of movement, of freedom for someone. So when it comes to the rights of young women, when it comes to the freedom of young women, we are saying the young people are now required by touts and some men in the society to say, you shall dress in a certain way. If you do not dress in the certain way that we want, we shall strip you, we shall punish you, we shall take away your dignity as a human being. So for us, we are saying the issue of 4th Street, the issue of violence against women is a direct translation that there is no independence for people, for women in this country.
But, you know, obviously the miniskirt moves beyond that. The question of gender-based violence, the question of sexual assault, the question of what should the public know and what should they do when it comes to that issue. Are people understanding that there's a role to play when it comes to what you can do out in public?
Certainly, for instance, when we look at this, I'm bringing the issue of independence, the issue of freedom of movement expression for women as provided by our Constitution. That sounds true. Everybody has something to do with everything. For instance, when that young woman was harassed, we thank God for that young man who held her hand and tried to defend her. That's a one man out of the rowdy crowd that was there. So if you can imagine, if all men knew the law, respected the law, behaved like educated Zimbabweans that they are supposed to behave like, you would have seen that the surrounding environment, women included, would have stopped that barbarism going on.
Nyari, not losing sight on the conversation here, obviously they are women and girls who day-to-day deal with the issue of gender-based violence. What is your message to them and what can they do when they find themselves in this predicament?
When you see a child who is being violated, report to police, get in touch with Take a Life on our number 0777-549090, 0777-549090. There are many things there, the likes of Plan, the likes of Childline, many organizations are doing something to assist women. Report to people around you. Advise a friend to take action. Don't allow a friend to wait until they are killed. You are a human rights defender. When you see someone being violated or perpetrated around you, you have to step in and defend them.
Nyari, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tatenda.
That was Nyari Mashayamombe, Director of Tag Life International, joining me today. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and have a good Sunday. Studio 7 is launching a new show, Live Talk The Connection, geared at our youth audience, and we want you to participate. If you are a youth, send us a message on WhatsApp. Our number is 001-202-465-0318.
Tell us what issues you want to hear. This is your show. So, let's know what's important to you. Use the hashtag TheConnection when sending your messages.
And if you're on Facebook and Twitter, include the hashtag TheConnection so we can follow the conversation together. Let's get connected on Life Talk, The Connection.
Those were our hosts for the new youth show, The Connection. Don't forget to join them on Live Talk on Tuesday, Tatenda Gumbo and Tungamili Nkomo. And now to recap on today's top stories. The MDCT president, Morgan Tsvangirai, has issued a directive barring its members from running social media sites that are not sanctioned by the party. And ZIMSEC says the 2014 O-level results are out.
That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, February 8, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Standakile Mhlanga. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night and a great week ahead.